how this college student's side hustle brings in $10,000 a month. What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, where we've been helping make day jobs optional since 2013. Awesome case study for you today. My guest is about to start his sophomore year at college, but is already bringing in around $10,000 a month from his side hustle window washing business. Stick around in this one to learn how he's doing it, how he's landing customers, delivering the work, delegating the work, and getting paid. Jack Leinbach, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hey, Nick. I'm so happy you have me on. I'm super excited to get talking about this.
I am pumped. What an inspiring story. And if windows aren't your jam, you don't have to worry. I've got a special listener bonus for you that shares 101 different service business ideas. Some are online, some are offline, that you might be able to apply some of Jack's same tactics to. You can grab that for free at the show notes for this episode. Just follow the link in the episode description and it'll get you right over there. So Jack, take me back. You get the idea, you get the inspiration to say, you know what? I need to make some money. I want to start window washing. But even though it's a pretty low startup cost business, it's still like, well, I'm going to need some squeegees. I'm going to need some other stuff. Take me back to day one here.
Yeah. So my brother, actually, he was cleaning windows professionally at a real business. And so that's kind of how I got the idea of wanting to clean windows. And he kind of just showed me how to do it with his squeegee. But I went home after that and I asked my dad actually for a $200 loan so I could buy the window cleaning gear. It's just a kit off of Amazon. It was about $200 and then the rest is history.
Interesting. Hey, you want to start a business? Here's a business in a box. We'll sell you the kit. What came in it?
So there was just the squeegee, the strip washer, a bucket, and then the soaps that you need. And then after that, I got a couple towels and then I used my buddy's ladder. And after that, you're kind of just able to get right ahead and go knocking.
Okay, go knocking. So that sounds like step one, acquiring the gear. Well, maybe step zero, coming up with the idea. Step one, acquiring the gear. And I love that dad is like, hey, you know what? I want to encourage this entrepreneurial spirit. If you need $200 worth of startup costs, I'm gonna front the capital. Hopefully he didn't charge you too much interest on that loan. And then you go out and say, well, now I got to go find some customers.
Yeah, 10% interest on that loan, by the way. But
it's not horrible.
I know. Definitely worked out, though, in my favor.
You probably could pay him off. I mean, I don't know what a professional window washing or even like a rookie window cleaning would cost, but I imagine it's a pretty quick break-even point.
Oh, yeah. So the first door, actually, that I ever knocked, I was with one of my best friends at the time. The guy said yes right away, which just never happens normally, but it did this time and it got us super pumped. And that house was actually $220. So within 3 hours of starting the business, we already paid back our costs.
I love you. There it is. There's the loan plus the 10%.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Now, how did you know what to charge for that? Or was that the target? Like, I just want to pay off the material cost.
So since my brother was doing it professionally, he kind of put me onto a lot of pointers, which is certainly something that's super important. Yeah. To have somebody kind of help you out or at least you know what you're doing. But I kind of just charged $5 per pane, per window pane, or maybe it was $4 back then.
Okay.
But that's kind of still how I price things today is $5 a pane.
Okay. So that allows you to kind of give a quick estimate, just do a quick walk around of the house and count up windows and multiply by five.
Yep, exactly. I'd tell the homeowner, I'll walk around their house. It'll take me 30 seconds, super quick. And then I tell them the price.
Oh, okay. Because that's probably knock, knock. Can I wash your windows, sir? Or and yeah. What's is going to cost me. Yeah, that's cool that you got a yes on the first one. And I love the idea of bringing a buddy with you. You know, safety in numbers. It's intimidating to go knock on doors. Mm-hmm. And I love all of that. So you deliver the first job and it goes relatively smoothly. And then you're off to the races.
Yeah. So after the first job, we finished up for the day, but that job, I think it took us around 3 hours.
Okay.
Went pretty good. And then after that, we knocked on like 50 more doors. We couldn't get a yes.
Oh, that's like more the reality of cold calling. That's when it starts to set in. Yeah. All right. So the first door is a yes, but then the next 50 in a row are no's. And you're starting to think like, oh, maybe this isn't the greatest business idea after all. What happens at that point?
Yeah. So what kept me going was actually a next door post I made. I just used a personal account and I was like, hey, I'm a high school student. I clean windows on my free time. You know, does anybody want their windows cleaned? And I think I had a few people reach out to me. I think I landed two or three clients. It was like 500 $600 or $750. And, you know, when I'm a lifeguard making $12 an hour, you know, $750 is like mind blowing. It's like life changing for me. And that's what really motivated me to keep going.
Yeah. It's like a week's worth of wages all at once.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally one of my paychecks, or maybe like two paychecks, just in a few hours cleaning windows.
Was there an hourly rate that you had in mind or that you were shooting for the window washing jobs?
Yeah. So the first little bit when I just had my squeegee, I was shooting for around $60 to $80 an hour. But sometimes when you just have those one story houses and you don't need to take out the ladder, you know, I could be making around $100 an hour. So that was normally my goal. But nowadays, one other person, as well as my water fed pulls, we're shooting for around $150 an hour.
Wow, that's a pretty good rate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super good. And then I pay my employees around $20 an hour. So my labor margin typically is about 30%. And that includes their door-to-door salary because I pay them commission based off that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If they're landing the sale, if they're making the customer deal in the first place, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's happy. And that's kind of the margin that we heard from a recent guest was kind of the sweet spot of a 3-to-1 sales price to labor ratio that would allow you to invest in scale and marketing and systems and everything else, and still have some money left over. Where I think in my mind, you kind of think of as like a general contractor, or maybe I'm only adding 10 to 15% on top of whatever. Like, it's like, that's pretty thin. That may not be enough. So I like that you've got some room to breathe on that front. So things are humming along. Hey, I'm making way more than I am lifeguarding, but things aren't going crazy. Then 9 or 10 months in, a couple key shifts happen. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So really nothing knowledge-wise really changed. I was just scrolling TikTok, as I did a ton back then, and I saw these two brothers. I think their names are Josh and Oliver Lester, and they do these door-to-door sales pitches. And I thought it was the funniest thing because they could make the homeowner laugh, and they claim to get all these yeses. And so I decided, like, why am I trying to reinvent the wheel with my crappy pitch? I'm gonna go ahead and use their pitch. And I also saw them using this water-fed pole and deionization tanks. And so I looked up on Facebook Marketplace, and I saw one for sale about an hour and a half away from me for a pretty decent price. So literally the next day I went out and bought it, and then I decided to go knocking with this new pitch. And the first three people I talked to, they all said yes, and that has never once happened before.
You're like, three in a row, I must be onto something. What's the pitch? What was different about it?
Yeah, so for the first 9 months, I would kind of just go up to somebody's house. I'd say, hey, my name's Jack with Tiger Window Cleaning. Would you like your windows cleaned? And everybody obviously is like, no, because they have 100 salespeople coming and knocking on their doors every day and they're just tired. Once you get off their lawn, typically they're pretty mean about it. Then I just be like, okay, then I move on to the next house. And obviously that didn't work out very good. But what these brothers were showing me is you try to throw in a joke. Like, a lot of people have dogs barking when you knock the door. And so to kind of break the ice, I go, oh, are those the guard dogs? They're so ferocious. And 10 times out of 10, the homeowner will laugh and be like, oh yeah, they won't harm you, like, wouldn't hurt a fly. And then I'd say, you know, have you seen us on the street, handsome fellows in the blue shirts? And then they laughed about that too. And then after that, you know, you've really built up a good reputation for yourself, and they're about ready to buy from you rather than just some dude coming up asking if they want their windows cleaned.
Yeah, trying to get the guard down, build a tiny bit of rapport. I remember doing the same thing, like, oh, you know, it would be a tiny Chihuahua or Shih Tzu or something, like, oh, is this the attack dog? Or, you know, guard your ankles.
Yeah, pretty much every window cleaner TikToker uses it because it's such a good pitch, and, you know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel. It's already been perfected, and it's definitely the best one. And when you compare it to a pitch just like, hey, my name is Jack with Tiger Window Cleaning, it's not even comparable. And it's super demotivating knocking on doors for 8 hours, not getting a single, you can't even quote a single house because you can't even get to that point.
Right. Yeah. Forget your $150 an hour. It's like, you know, now I have to calculate in all this marketing time too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You make some joke about the dog or the handsome guys in the shirt, or we were working on your neighbor's house down the road. What happens after that?
Typically, I'll try to throw in a name. I'll say, okay, like, no big deal. We were just over at Michelle's house, cleaning up all of her windows, frames, and sills across her entire home. Figured I'd stop by, see if I could interest you in that, and we could get you in for pretty cheap if we could do you today, because our truck's already here and we could take off our transportation fee or something to kind of appeal and make them bite.
Yeah, some some reason to act now, right? Like some sense of urgency. Oh, shoot, now there's like a deadline.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the same thing. If you ever go into online marketing on social media, you want to try to do the same kind of things.
And then you're trying to figure out, well, how many windows are there? We can do the math really quick and get you a number.
Yeah, exactly. You just tell the homeowner, I'm going to run around, count up the glass. It'll take me 30 seconds and I'll meet you back here with the price, just so you know. And there's really no reason to say no. It's going to take you 30 seconds. And you just count up all the glass, multiply it by 5 or, you know, somewhere relatively around there, depending on how hard you think the house is going to be. And then it's a really simple process.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful for me just to get a ballpark. Even if I don't want to hire you, at least now I kind of have a benchmark. It's like, you know, for the next guy who comes up, or if I want to do my own shopping around, that makes sense.
One big thing to do as well, when you are dropping the price, you can say, okay, so normally when you were just to call us out, like it'd be $300. But since we're already here, take off our $100 transportation fee, comes down to only $200, and we can do it all right now. And that works really well.
Okay, so a refined cold calling, intro pitch, trying to name drop the neighbors if you can, like any level of trust and rapport that you could build, because I have some, hopefully, positive associations with my neighbors. Well, if they already trusted these guys to do the work, then, you know, maybe I should too. There's some social proof or safety in numbers and trying to crack some jokes and make it, reduce the friction. Like it'll take me 30 seconds to get you a number. Like it'll be super fast and take it or leave it. We're already here. Price today is less because we don't have to drive out and make a special trip. All that stuff, that makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned this new water-fed pole thing, finding that on Facebook Marketplace. How much does this tool cost?
So when I bought it used, I think I got it for $1,900. But if you buy it brand new, you should get it off Tucker USA and you should spend at least $2,400. That's to get a great one would be $2,400 off of Tucker USA. That's how much I pay for mine. Anything under is probably not going to do as great of a job, but it's a 3-stage system and it just purifies all the water to 0 particles per million.
Okay.
You can clean windows up to 40 feet high and you just spray it off with this clean water and you don't even have to go up there and squeegee it. You just let it dry and it dries up totally crystal clear.
Yeah, and imagine that saves a ton of time from having to move ladders around. It probably is a lot safer than climbing up on a 40-foot ladder.
Oh, yeah.
So reinvesting some profits back into the business, it sounds like, with this revamped, better equipment, better pitch, and things start to take off. This is April?
Yeah, this is in April, yep.
And this was your first $10,000 month?
Yeah, I think the best month I had before April was maybe $2,000. And then in April, I got access to all these new neighborhoods and all these super like rich areas, because now I can clean up to 40 feet high rather than just sticking to one story or maybe some 2-story windows if my 18-foot ladder could reach like a tricky spot. But even then, there's still a lot of times I have to tell the homeowner like, hey, I can't do these windows. Like, I'm sorry, but you don't have to pay me as much as we agreed, but I just can't do these windows. But that totally goes away once you get this water-fed pole system, and it makes everything a lot easier and sometimes doubles the speed and efficiency that you're working at.
Okay, got it. So you're knocking on doors, your crew members are knocking on doors, they're getting a commission on everything that they sell. Mm-hmm. Is there, you mentioned like the handsome guys in the blue shirts, like this is like the company uniform at this point?
Oh yeah. When we're working on the job, we typically have our blue shirts. It's got like our company name on it, but I try not to knock in the company shirts because the first time I ever went knocking out with them, me and my buddy were wearing them. We were looking super professional. I thought this was going to be like a great day. Everyone would say yes because we look like a serious professional.
Yeah, we're legit now. Yeah.
Yeah. And the first 3 people, we see them in their kitchen or through the door. They look at us and they just walk away. And we, maybe we knock again. They just walk away. They do not want us there because they just know we're sales guys. Yeah. Rather than when we're just in t-shirts and shorts, they think we're just some kids. And maybe we want to ask them a question. They don't know, and they're willing to hear us out.
How funny. Yeah, that the uniform was actually a detriment.
Yeah, no, I gotta kind of dumb down my professionalism at times.
More with Jack in just a moment, including his super profitable $10 a day online ad campaign in the opening script for that makes all the difference. That's coming up right after this. That's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers in-person selling too? It's true. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. That means you can accept payments, manage inventory, and track every sale across your business in one place. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. You can take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. So do retail right with Shopify. Go ahead, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sidehustle to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/sidehustle. One thing a lot of smart entrepreneurs practice is something I call intentional procrastination. Look, you've got limited hours, especially as a side hustle. You got to focus on what's important. But if there's one thing you really shouldn't sleep on, it's setting up your term coverage life insurance. That's why I want to invite Side Hustle Show listeners to choose life insurance through our sponsor, Ladder, today. Ladder is 100% digital. That means no doctors, no needles, no paperwork when you're applying for $3 million in coverage or less. It takes just a few minutes. You can even do it on your phone. All you need to do is answer a few questions about your health, and then Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're instantly approved. Ladder policies are issued by insurers with long, proven histories of paying claims. They're rated A and A+ by AM Best. There's no hidden fees. You can cancel at any time. You can even get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. But it's no secret. Life insurance costs more the older you get. So here's an example of procrastination costing you money. So now's the time to cross this one off your list. Go to ladderlife.com/hustle today to see if you're instantly approved. That's LADDER life.com/hustle, ladderlife.com/hustle. And big thanks to Ladder for sponsoring the show. Okay. Well, very good. So that's the, you know, local boots on the ground type of marketing effort. Anything going on the online front?
So at this point, we actually didn't. It wasn't until I believe June where I made my first Instagram ad, and I posted it on Facebook. I posted it on Instagram. Facebook didn't do very good. So I took it off Facebook, kind of put all the money towards Instagram, and I was just spending $10 a day, like really nothing. And then I was knocking on the side of it. But just that one ad, after spending $600, it generated me $10,000 in revenue just from the ad. And that doesn't even include the word of mouth I got from it, or, you know, recurring customers, whatever it is. But the return on investment on online advertising is huge.
Wow. That's crazy, because it's probably like super location targeted. Probably, I imagine you're like, mm-hmm. I want to target homeowners, you know, above average income level. Like, you probably set it really targeted.
Yeah, there's a bunch of little things you can add in. Like, I want it to be a woman that's 35 to 65, and I want it to be right in my area. But in all these ads, the super important part is, so I made a video. They were all super funny. I tried to make them like super entertaining to listen to.
Yeah.
But the most important part was right at the beginning. I'd say, "Hey, Evergreen," or "Hey, Auburn." That way people know I'm talking to them, and they're not just going to skip it because they see the send message, which shows it's an ad. So they're not just going to skip it right away. And they actually might listen because they know I'm targeting it right to them. And then I'm going to throw in a joke a little bit after. So for example, for my Auburn ad, I posted this one about 6 days ago, and I've put in $60 into it. I've already booked $2,500 worth of jobs with it. It's been doing super good. But what I said, "Hey, Auburn, there's a huge epidemic going around the Auburn and Opelika area. Your windows are looking like this or this or this, and it's going to cause some serious permanent damage that's going to seriously lower your property value." And then, you know, I did this funny little transition where I did a little jump, and I went from my my normal clothes to like my uniform with my belt on, and, you know, people love that. But then I have all these moms texting me, and they're like, or DMing me, and they say, "Hey, like, I'd love a quote." And then you get there, and then you do your spiel.
okay, so that's the call to action. I love that. There's a huge epidemic of dirty windows going around, and then you show the visuals. You're like, and then you can see people looking up at there. It's like, yeah. When was the last time those were cleaned? So then the call to action is message me for a quote, or message me to schedule an appointment.
Yeah. So at the very end, I tell them all the services I do. And I say, "I know you need at least one of these done, so give me a text." And I like point up, and then my number pops up. But most people just DM me, and it says at the bottom, like the whole time you're reaching, it says send message. And then they can just send the message, and it's super duper easy. Most people just say, "Hey, I'd love a quote." And then maybe they send their address, and I say, "Okay, I'll be there tomorrow, blah, blah, blah." And then they're like, like, oh, that's super easy.
Okay. How cool. What a great return on investment on that. And then, yeah. And then while you're out on the job, of course, there's opportunity to go get some warm or semi-warm leads from the neighbors. Hey, we're working on so-and-so's house next door, you know, and try and turn one job into two.
Yeah. So typically how we structure our business plan for the day is we schedule one house from an ad or that we've knocked on a previous day. And we schedule one house per day, like per morning or whenever we start working. And then when we get to that house, normally one person starts cleaning while the other goes knocking to line up the rest of the day. And that's how we're able to fill up our schedule so often, just because we already have that name. And so we can say, oh, Michelle down the road, like that's where we're at. And that builds that level of trust. And
okay.
It's you're more likely to land the client.
Yeah. Leaning on the job that you were able to book and then being able to say, as soon as we're done there, we'll come over here versus, well, let's book it. Like, well, you know, the motivation might wane if you wait too long. We're only going to schedule one per day. And then trust and hope that we can get some more jobs to fill up the schedule.
Yeah. When people are calling you out, usually they got a couple people that are asking for a quote. And so you're trying to just beat those other people. But when you're doing door to door, you know, there's that appeal of the homeowner to just like get it done right away. And so, you know, you're not really competing with other people. And the homeowner just loves the fact that like, okay, these guys can do it in literally an hour. They can get me a price in 30 seconds. Like I might as well just hear the price. And then, you know, if I want it done today, like that'd be great.
Yeah, that's what it was. We had some guys a couple doors down doing window washing, gutter cleaning or something for the neighbors. And so I'd go up to them like, hey, do you guys use skylights? And they're like, sure, you know, we'll be over in 15 minutes. Like, okay, you know, that saves me the trouble of having to quote anybody else, like just, you know, remove that pain point of mine and take care of it. I was going to ask, I mean, Auburn is a town of college town, but like decent size. Well, you got 50, 60, 80,000 people. I don't know. It's like a decent sized town, but I guess that's a lot of doors to knock on. Like it's going to be a while before you saturate the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did have this problem actually in Colorado when I was cleaning over the summer, because there's some neighborhoods that you just don't want to knock. Everyone's going to be mean. You're never going to get a yes, no matter how many doors you knock on. There's some neighborhoods where I've knocked on five doors, landed four people, and then the next five, I land three people, and it's just insane. In Colorado, I actually ran out of good neighborhoods and I just had to fully rely on my ad and I couldn't do very much knocking. But in Auburn here, there's so many houses compared to like good neighborhoods. And if you just look around, like look at the street, there's a ton of cars, you know, all those people have a house. You really can't run out of houses to knock. And it's just more, are you willing to get yelled at a lot or not?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. House painting was the same way, where you'd have these long droughts and then you'd find like this little gold mine of a street. And, you know, we'd end up booking, you know, sometimes, you know, probably the majority of the houses on that little cul-de-sac, you know, over the course of the summer, just go from one to the next, to the next. And to think I almost drove by here, you know, that was 10 grand worth of sales.
Yeah. What's super helpful with those gold mine streets is this app I use. It's called Sales Rabbit. And it allows me to kind of pin which houses don't answer, because typically like 2/3 of the homes, the people aren't going to be home. So I'm able to mark down which houses don't answer. And then I can go back another day. And that allows me to really elongate how many houses I have. In Colorado, I wasn't using the app for a majority of the time, which was a huge reason why I ran out of neighborhoods to knock.
Yeah.
But that issue would not have occurred. And then you can always go back the next year and knock those same houses again, because it's a year they need the windows cleaned again.
Right. That's the beauty of this business. Things are going to keep getting dirty. It's the same in any other cleaning business. Like, wait, let's sign this up for recurring service.
Exactly.
Have you done any of that where the dentist is the best at this? You're not leaving that office until they've got your next cleaning booked. Anything like that, and setting people up for their 6-month checkup, their 12-month, you know, re-cleaning?
This is definitely a big mistake of mine for the majority of the time, is I haven't really had a system where I'm really keeping track. But what I do for every client, I get their phone number and I get the contact. And I put a little date next to it. That way, when I know it's a year in advance,
okay,
I can just send them a text, kind of tell them, you know, I'm still doing the window cleaning. I can get you like 10% off, whatever it is. And I'd be happy to come back, clean your windows. And you already have that trust. You know, you did a great job. If you're doing a house, you really want to try to connect with the homeowner. You know, do as best of a job as you can. Tell them, if you see anything wrong, please let me know. I'm more than happy to come back, fix anything up. But yeah, that's the best way to get recurring clients, is just kind of texting them and reaching out to them.
Yeah, like the big barrier is that, you know, getting to yes in the first place. It's much easier to, you know, to sell something to an existing client, sell it again to an existing client, than go find somebody new to say yes to you for the first time. So I think that is a big area of opportunity. And you can imagine,
yeah,
people live in a house, whatever the stat is, like an average of 10 years or something. It's like the lifetime value of a customer could be quite big in an industry like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I just actually left a homeowner's house the other day. She was telling me how she's used the same guy for a little over 20 years, and he just retired, and that's why she called me out. And she's like, okay, if you do a good job at my place, like, I'm gonna keep you around for however long I can until you're gone.
Yeah, I think mom and dad the same way. They've had their go-to guy. I think he comes by twice a year, does his thing, and then of course the kids go up and press their nose right up against the glass. I'm like, no, don't touch that. They just had it cleaned. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really cool. So Sales Rabbit, appreciate you sharing that tool. That was something I probably could have used when I was going door to door selling paint jobs, like, you know, especially in those gold mine neighborhoods when you're hitting above average and you're like, dang, you know, but this person wasn't home or that person wasn't home, like to have a record of which ones that you weren't able to talk to. I think that makes a lot of sense. Anything else on the tools tech side, software or otherwise?
Yeah. So the benefit of window cleaning is it's simple tasks. So really the only other app I use is called Jobber. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it. It's like one of the most popular apps in the service industry. But I mainly just use that to send out super professional looking quotes and invoices, because when I just text them a number, they're less likely to say yes. Other than that, though, I don't really use Jobber for much else. But once I start really harking on my employees to see like their hours, you can do all of that stuff through Jobber, and you can also get paid and schedule houses. But as of now, I'm more doing all that stuff in my other calendar. It's called TimeTree.
Okay, TimeTree is new to me. Jobber has been mentioned a bunch on the show for these local service businesses, scheduling out team members and job sites and, you know, sending out quotes and invoices, and just a professional looking thing, you know, just another little checkbox or layer to build client trust.
Yeah, it's definitely a great tool. And I've got it recommended from so many other service industry workers so many times. But if you're going to start somewhere, I definitely would use Jobber.
We will link that up in the show notes as well. And for all the homeowners in the audience, the question always comes up is like, well, what about insurance? What if something happens, you knock a ladder through a window or something? How does that all work?
Yeah, I'm actually shocked how little people care if I have insurance, because I've only had a few people ask out of the hundreds and hundreds of homes that I've cleaned.
Yeah,
I didn't even have insurance until very recently, just a few months ago, but I was already making my $10,000 months without an LLC, without insurance, without any of that. But it's definitely something I should have gotten further in advance, because if I did accidentally knock over a ladder and hit a car or break a window, break the siding of a house, that's a really expensive thing to fix, because that can really take down your business.
Yeah. And depending on, you know, the sales volume that you're doing, it's not super expensive, at least in most industries from what I've been researching.
Yeah. I think I pay around $1,000 a year, and I pay the off monthly. I think it's like $80-some a month. It's really not expensive, and it's 100% worth it. And also you can send that to clients and, you know, put it on your website just so you have the extra level of trust.
Right. Yeah. So it's a small percentage of revenue to have some level of protection there. So that makes sense. Yeah. As you're going out, you're doing these jobs and your team is doing these jobs. Do you ever get the pushback if you send out one of your friends or crew members, like, what happened to Jack? I thought it was going
to
be him.
I typically try to stay on the job site, but that's more to show my workers that I'm just as hardworking as they are, and, you know, I'm not skimping out on any labor. But it definitely does happen where I actually have had one customer complain about how I wasn't there, and she thought I was going to be there. If you're not going to be at a job site, though, and you know, you're the one that talked to the client, or maybe they saw your ad, I just try to make it super clear that I'm not going to be there. And typically, like, 9 times out of 10, they really don't mind. Actually, probably more like 10 times out of 10, they do not mind at all. But it's just when I have those recurring customers, those are the ones that do care a little more. And I always try to be at those jobs, because I am the one who made that connection with them. And I'm not too sure how Michelle or Johnny is going to act when I don't show up to his job site.
Yeah, as long as the work gets done, the line that was given on the show years ago was, you know, are you selling your time or are you selling results? And if somebody else on your team could deliver the same results, then probably going to be fine. But just being upfront about that client communication, hey, you know, my team member so-and-so is going to take care of you today, and I'll be, you know, I'm going to go out marketing. I'm going to go find some more customers while we're here in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I just try to make it super clear that my crew is, they're all trained snipers. They're all super trusted. And, you know, we've done hundreds of homes and never had a callback or anything like that. And they all love that.
Yeah. And on that line, like, no no dropping a ladder on the car, you know, none of these kind of disasters that could happen?
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of things that can happen. And when you have employees, that's why you really want to make sure you hire employees that you trust, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong, especially when you're cleaning interior homes. A lot of times I carry my big heavy ladder around in there. It folds up, but it's really heavy. And if I'm not careful, you know, I can knock a vase over, or I can crash into the drywall and easily leave a hole. And that's just the kind of stuff you want to have the general liability insurance for.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, we've got the same, like a little giant or something ladder. It's super handy, but it's like, it's crazy heavy for what it is. So
that's, yeah, I have the little giant. Yep. I know, it's just ridiculously heavy.
As you're at the job site, as you're up on the ladder, I imagine you get customers being like, hey, while you're up there, could you clean off the roof? Could you clean the gutters? Would you paint the trim? Would you recaulk the window? Like, do you get people asking for other random stuff once you're there?
Oh, yeah. All the time, people ask for little random things to big random things. And sometimes they want me to do something for free, or sometimes they want me to do a big job, like a gutter cleaning. Usually they want that for free, because typically that's like a $200 ticket, $250 on average.
Yeah.
Some things you can upsell would be the screens, cleaning the screens. And what I do for that is I just use my strip washer, and I can just clean them off like that. Or I recently invested in a screen cleaner. It's just a bunch of bristles and it shoots out water. I can clean them super fast. But almost, I'd say like 8 times out of 10, you can upsell for screens. You can also go onto the roof and take pictures of the gutters and kind of just show the homeowner pictures of the gutters. Be like, hey, you need your gutters cleaned? While I'm here, I could get you a pretty good price. A lot of time they'll say yes, and it's super easy. Once you're up there, you just need a bucket and some gloves, and you're pretty much set for that. And it's really easy money for that.
Yeah. Okay. And then are the interior part of the windows included, or is that, would you consider that an add-on as well?
I don't know if I consider it an add-on. I'd more just consider it another service.
Okay.
Typically, it's exterior cleaning as a base level. But if somebody calls me out from an ad, 9 times out of 10, they want me to do the inside as well. If I'm doing door to door, they do not want me to do the inside. I don't know if it's invasion of privacy, or, you know, it does almost double the price, because I charge $3 to $4 per pane when I'm charging $5 per pane for the exterior. But a lot of door to door people do not want the inside done. If someone calls me out, though, it's like a whole nother job. It's like a whole nother client in one, though, because I'm landing that interior. It's pretty hard to upsell it, though, because normally people have their mindset if they want the interior done or if they don't want it done. It's pretty easy to tell normally, and you don't really got to do a whole pitch for it. It's just, hey, do you want the insides done? One key thing I did notice, though, if you're trying to sell the inside, is I say, instead of saying, do you want me to clean your inside windows? I say, I assume you wanted your inside windows cleaned as well. And they're like, oh, like, I guess everyone does get them cleaned. And I noticed a huge spike in landing those interior jobs, is saying, I assumed you already wanted it.
And so those are for the people primarily coming off the Instagram ad traffic, which is maybe a more qualified lead, because they're reaching proactively out to you versus you knocking on the door, interrupting the day, and, you know, letting a stranger in off the street into their house to do the interior side. I think that makes sense. But that can add to the average ticket for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you certainly have the leverage, because they're calling out to you rather than you going to their door asking them. So when they call you out, you definitely have the leverage to definitely at least charge more per pane. You can definitely do that. And you can also upsell stuff a lot easier as well.
Yeah. Do you need to go out to the house to bid it? I forget. Maybe this was a pressure washing episode that we did. I think I was like, no, I just pull it up on Google Earth. I get an estimate of like the street view, approximate square footage, and I'll throw out a number or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You do not have to go. If the house is on Zillow, you can easily count the windows like that. But I will never do that right away. I only do that if the customer asks. Otherwise, I will be at the house, because if I'm at the house and I put a little charm on at the door when I'm talking to them, 9 times out of 10, they say yes, rather than if I just send them a couple numbers, then like, oh, it's too easy. But if I'm actually at the house, it's a much higher success rate.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense, versus just lobbing an email off or lobbing a text message off. Okay, fair enough. More time required, but a better success ratio there.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth it.
More with Jack in just a moment, including collecting positive customer reviews, how he manages his schedule as a full-time student, and his plans to double the business. All that and more right after this. Hey, it's no secret. Starting a business can feel really hard, and growing a business even harder. How are you going to reach more customers? How can you do it when budgets are tight? And how can you maintain the quality of your products and services as you scale? Well, there's a great podcast that can help out with all of that. It's called This is Small Business. This is Small Business is full of practical insights that you can apply to your business right now. And it answers so many of those kinds of questions that all entrepreneurs have, like how to build your marketing strategy, how to use email lists to increase revenue, tips to accelerate small business growth, and tons more. A couple recent episodes I think you might like are episode 61 on marketing, networking, and audience building, and episode 63 on how to build your business with a small budget. Both of those are filled with practical, actionable tips to move your side hustle forward so you can reach your goals. So go ahead and follow This is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. Are you doing anything to build, and this may be difficult if the business is split between Colorado and Alabama, like a Google business presence or a local business presence for SEO, for Google reviews, for Yelp, for Facebook, or do they allow you to have a branch office in Colorado or something?
So I did try making a Google page a while ago, like a really long time ago, before I even had my $10,000 month, and it kept on getting denied. I think you need to have an LLC and insurance and proof of that to start it, which I didn't have until the summer. And then I tried making it up in the summer, but it kept on getting denied for reasons I don't even know. But then very recently, I set the location to Alabama and I sent a video with all the proof and it very recently got accepted.
Okay.
It is definitely a very important thing and a super easy way to get customers. But once you do get tons of reviews, it really depends on your location and what your competition has. But for example, in Auburn, the highest is 375 reviews for window cleaning, but then the second is like 75 reviews. So, you know, once you get past that 75, you're already second, and it's not going to take too long to get those 75 reviews as long as you're asking each homeowner.
Is there a script or an ask after somebody, swipes their card and they pay you or they hand you that check and you say, hey, you know, appreciate your business. If you're happy with our work, would you mind jumping on Google and leaving us a quick review?
Yeah. So as of now, I'm just sending them a link over text.
Okay.
I'm just about to buy these cards. It's kind of like a credit card, and it has, you kind of just tap it to the homeowner's phone and it sends them straight to a link. So I can do it in person and it just sends them straight to the link. And so they already have all the stars up in front of them. They kind of forced to leave a review because I'm standing right in front of them. I'm saying, like, oh, it worked. Like, can you leave a review? And if you do a good job, they're always more than happy to leave you a review. A lot of the people hiring you, especially if you're doing door to door, they want to see you succeed and they want to support you. So that's why they're hiring you.
Yeah, that's fancy. What's it? Do you know the name of that little RFID card?
Yeah, I believe the name is Dot. It's just a Dot card. And you literally just put it up to the person's phone and it sends them straight there. It's super convenient. But another thing I'll be doing is printing little business cards with just QR codes on them, which will send them straight to the link as well, in case, you know, maybe they're not home or whatever it is.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, collect those reviews. It may not take a ton, depending on your local competition and what else is out there, to start to build that body of social proof. And just, again, it's all sales, all about know, like, and trust. Like, you know, build all these different little trust factors, and that's just another one that can help drive it. So that makes sense.
Yeah. A huge way of marketing as well is, if you don't have a Google page, you can always ask them to leave a review on Nextdoor or Facebook or in one of their Facebook groups. Those are always bound to get you tons of clients. So if you're able to do that, which most people are willing to, you can also say, hey, I'll throw in this extra service for free if you just leave me a little review, like an honest review on Nextdoor or on Facebook. Or, you know, you can tell them I'll take $20 off the price if you could just do this for me. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you ask, they're going to do it.
That makes sense. And we see people doing that in our neighborhood groups as well. Hey, this company, you know, if you need handyman services, this company was just out and they did great work. And so now, even if I don't need it right away, it's kind of evergreen where I could search that, you know, handyman or plumber or whatever the keyword is. And I could see, you know, who has been recommended over the course of several years in the group.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely a great way to get going. And the thing with the Google page as well is, until you have a lot of those reviews, it does limit you to a lot of other forms of marketing, because I had these little posters, like the road signs that I'd put up just in lawns when I'm cleaning a house or, you know, at the end of an intersection. I also have little advertising on my truck, but what people are going to do is they're going to look up Tiger window cleaning rather than just calling the number right away. And if they don't see any reviews, or they see someone else with much better reviews, you know, they're not going to call you, most likely.
Yeah, you've inadvertently advertised for your competition.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
Have you faced a lot of that where, you know, people are getting multiple competitive bids? So the initial job price, $200, $300, it's like, ah, do I really want to go through the trouble of getting multiple bids for something like this? I don't know. What's your relationship like with the other window cleaners in town?
More often than not, they're not getting other bids. Typically, it's just you, but a lot of the time they do get other bids. But it is shocking how expensive these other companies are. Like, I'm charging and I'm making $150 an hour, but you know, these companies are charging sometimes double what I'm charging, which is just ridiculous. And what I've heard from a lot of the homeowners who have used them before and then use my service is they don't even do a great job. Like, they come in and they have like four guys do it in 20 minutes. They don't double check anything. They just send them an invoice after and leave. And then, you know, you can't reach out to them either when you see a little something wrong, because it takes forever to reach them.
Yeah. Well, yes, there's a room for good old-fashioned customer service.
Yeah.
And good pricing too. So that's great. Well, my understanding of the class is starting next week. What's the game plan to manage this thing schedule-wise, labor-wise, once school's in session?
So I assume it will be very similar to last April.
Okay.
So I'm a student at Auburn. I'm going to be a sophomore now, but last year in April, I had a super full schedule. That's when I made $11,853 in revenue. We were working every single day, and I kind of schedule all my classes so that they're done super early. So I wake up as early as I can, normally around 7 or 7:30. Then I finish class by around 10 a.m. or sometimes noon. And then from there, I pick up one of my guys. We go do our first job, or we either start knocking, one of the two. And then we typically work until dark, and because it's pretty hard to clean during when you can't see, obviously. I drop off my guy, or maybe he goes home. I go to the gym, and then I study, and I try to be done and asleep by 11 o'clock. I can get that 8 hours of sleep and do it all the next day.
Do it all again. What a schedule there. Yeah, if you forget about the study. Oh yeah, there's going to be homework involved with this whole being a student thing.
If you are really trying to be efficient with your time, and you know, you're not like dilly-dallying on your phone while you're studying, and you know, there's a lot of ways to really cut down on the stuff you have to do. And there's a lot of bad habits people have too. And if you cut that off, you'd really be surprised how much time you actually have. But you know, even though I was really focused on these other things rather than school, you know, I was still able to maintain my 4.0 GPA and continue to live a really healthy and just happy life, being busy all the time. And it's really fulfilling, and it's really meaningful too. And it really keeps you happy.
Yeah, good work on that. I'm excited for you. I think that's really cool. I remember my best academic quarters were also the quarters that I had kind of the busiest schedule, where I was working a lot of hours, and you had to make it work because you didn't have a lot of extra hours to do it in. So somebody's law, Parkinson's law, maybe, yeah. You know, where, you know, work expands to the time allowed that you time allowed for it. So.
That's a huge part of window cleaning. It really is a linear equation between how much energy you're putting in and how much time you're putting into the business versus how much you get out. Because, you know, you can work 100 hours in a week if you want to. You know, as much daylight as there is, you can be knocking on doors or cleaning, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to knock on doors. You don't have to be working. You know, it's really however much you want to put in.
Absolutely. Whatever the income goals are that you have, you can kind of scale it up and scale it down to that level. Do you have any, you know, plans to scale it further? Like, where do you want to go with it?
Yeah. So super recently, I just spent around $9,000 getting a pressure washing skid all built up. I've been doing that for the last month. For anyone who doesn't know what a skid is, it's basically a big aluminum part that goes in your truck, and it has shelves. It just kind of increases the space in your truck. So I mounted down all the pressure washing and soft washing gear and reels to the shelves. And from there, you can land super high ticket customers. Like, for example, a house clean, you charge like, I think it's like 25 cents per square foot of the house. So if it's like a 4,000 square foot house, you know, you can be charging maybe $900 and it really doesn't take that long. You're kind of just wetting down the house, getting the sodium hypochlorite on it, and then rinsing it back down. It's really not a hard task. And you can do these super high ticket jobs in a super little amount of time. But my goal by the end of this year is to be generating $20,000 a month in revenue, as well as maintaining my school as well. And I think it's super doable, given that throughout the summer, we, you know, it's just me and one other guy. And a lot of time I was on vacation with my family. You know, the month of June, I was in Mexico for a little over 10 days. And still managed to generate almost $12,000 in the month of June.
Did you have team members going out while you were out of the country?
So in Colorado, I didn't really. In Auburn, I have a lot more team members. So it's a lot easier to, and they're a lot more willing to work too. So it's a lot easier to kind of not have to be there and not have to be in town. And for example, in April, the last month of April, I was out and they did work all week and generated about $2,500 just without me having to really do anything. Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Isn't that cool? Like things are happening when you're not there. That's got to be really rewarding. What's surprised you the most in building this thing?
So what surprised me the most actually is just how easy it is. And I really didn't understand how easy it would be until the 10th month when I had that first $10,000 month, because the first 9 months of the business, my best month was maybe $2,000. And I knew what it was going to take to, you know, have that $10,000 month.
I mean, is it easy? I mean, you're layering on sales and customer service and physical labor, and one man's easy is another person's, like, that sounds hard.
Sorry, I should clarify. It's more like the vision, like the kind of steps you have to take. The work itself is certainly not easy. I will not say that. But the steps you have to take, it's really just go knock on more doors and work a little bit more, or not a little bit, a lot more.
Yeah, you gotta go earn it.
Exactly.
To be fair, the work itself isn't rocket science either. I mean, you're able to teach yourself these skills and teach other people how to do these skills. But it's interesting to hear you say maybe it was more of like, you know, the barrier to income is, it might be lower than you think, but you're gonna have to be willing to put in some labor, put in some work to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like most people, when they think of, you know, $12,000 a month, they think of, okay, this must have taken like a million steps to really get it going. But once I figured out what I was doing, for example, in May, I moved back to Colorado and I didn't start to the 10th, and I literally started from completely scratch. I didn't have any clients. I just had my equipment and the knowledge. And from the 10th to the 30th, I was still able to make $11,600 in revenue. And that's really just from starting from scratch and
wow.
Just because I knew what I was doing. And it really is some simple steps. I was literally knocking until my knuckles bled.
Yeah, it's a portable skill, but once you build up a certain reputation in town, it can be, you know, seen as a local business, and it's like, oh, it's hard to move away from all those local reviews and reputation. But the old saying in the car business, with my toolbox has wheels, it's like I could take this show on the road anytime I want. Do you ever lose motivation going to class? You know, look, I've got this vehicle that I've built that can generate a really, really strong income. Why am I sitting here, you know, go to school? If I just put more hours into the business, you know, imagine where I could take it. I could go to different locations. I could franchise this thing. Like, where's your head at on that stuff?
Yeah, that's actually been something I've been thinking about a lot recently.
I don't want to be the one that encourages you to like drop out. I just genuinely like, it's because this is a really big debate with the cost of tuition. And, you know, is school still really that important? Like, what's your take on it?
The thing is with this is it looks phenomenal on my resume, and I can really leverage it to get in places that I originally wouldn't be able to do. My goal is to break into the investment banking world. And once I can do that, and I want to build a lot of business experience through that. And then I want to move back into the more entrepreneurial side and be able to build, you know, maybe a 7-figure, 8-figure business, 9-figure business, rather than just this, a 6-figure business. And, you know, as impressive as it is already, I just don't want to limit myself to window cleaning right now when I believe I could do better things down the road.
Yeah. All right. Investment banking, Tiger window cleaning is going to be the private equity roll up of all these little, you know, mom and pop operators around the world. You know, the path is out there. So Jack, this has been awesome. Give him a follow on Instagram, support him over there. We will link that profile up in the show notes for you. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Yeah, absolutely, Nick. So the advice for so many years has really been the same. Odds are, if you're listening to this, you already know what it takes to be successful. You already know what bad habits you need to drop. You know what hard work looks like. There's not much I could tell you that's just going to change your life. What I can tell you is you already have all this knowledge. What you need to do is apply that knowledge. Like I said, for the first 9 months of the business, my best month was $2,000, and I had a 600% increase on the 10th month. And that's really because I went out there and I applied that knowledge I already knew. I did have new equipment and I did have a new pitch, but I really just applied what I already knew and all the advice I've gotten, but I didn't have like a sudden click that just transformed me into having a 600% increase in my business.
Yeah, you find it's just like laying that foundation and building the confidence and putting in the reps, and you start to see the compound effect of all of that stuff add up. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, now we've got this thing figured out. We can go make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm inspired by this one, taking a ton of notes as always, like all of these different tools and tactics and resources and, you know, hey, Auburn, hey, you know, local town, there's an epidemic of, you know, all this really creative marketing strategies, trying to break down the barriers, build up trust and do it, you know, quickly and intentionally with integrity and with, you know, with a positive spin on it, with a positive smile. I think, you know, good things are going to happen from that. And so the cast is out there, like Jack has shown, just have to go out there and get it. So really, really inspiring story. So again, we've been chatting window washing. We did an episode with Johnny Robinson at Squeegee God in episode 480 a few years ago. If you want another take on this business from a different angle, remember him talking about going out and doing his first, they wanted to get commercial business. So he's talking about knocking on storefronts and doing his first job. And the owner was like, well, if you like what you're doing, we'll pay you. And so they spent way longer than they ever should have doing this job because they didn't know what they're doing. And at the end, he's like, good work. And he pays them in donuts. He's like, here's your day old donuts. They're like, well, we kind of got paid. We count that as our first job, but it was motivating enough to keep going. But he had some really interesting stuff on growth through acquisition and kind of his online marketing strategies and reputation building. So check that one out. That's episode 480. And if windows aren't your thing, I want to encourage you to download my list of 101 service business ideas. Some are online, some are offline, but in either case, I think you'll be able to apply some of Jack's marketing and sales tactics to those. You can grab that for free at the show notes for this episode. Just follow the link in the episode description and it'll get you right over there. Big thanks to Jack for sharing his insight. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. Thank you for supporting the advertisers that support the show. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. So fire off a text message. I know you've got a friend or two who needs to hear this. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. I've got another podcast recommendation for you. It's the Young and Profiting podcast hosted by Hala Taha. A good life comes from good choices, but good choices come from experience. Tune in to learn from Hala's inspiring guests like Matthew McConaughey in episode 101, Seth Godin in episode 87, and even Robert Greene on Decoding the Laws of Human Nature in episode 44. Shoot, I was even a guest myself way back on episode 10, back when the show was still a side hustle for Hala. Today, the Young and Profiting podcast is one of the most popular entrepreneurship and educational podcasts across all listening platforms. If you're interested in improving your mental state, gaining influence, healing your mind, and growing your business, and much more, then the Young and Profiting podcast is just for you. Subscribe to YAP, Young and Profiting podcast, on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform to help level up your life. That's Young and Profiting podcast, hosted by Hala Taha, to learn from the brightest minds in the world. Check it out and let her know that you heard about it from the Side Hustle Show.